Our first scripture reading is from the book of Genesis. In fact, both will be. I'm sort of dividing up the scripture reading in half today, but we're looking first at Genesis chapter 4, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 8, story of Cain and Abel. It says, "Now the man knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, 'I have produced a man with the help of the Lord.' Next, she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a tiller of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel, for his part, brought of the firstlings of his flock, their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. The Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it.' Cain said to his brother Abel, 'Let us go out to the field.' And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Back in June, I went to the DMV in Lancaster because my driver's license was about to expire. And rather than renew it online, I figured I would get that real ID that the government has been encouraging us to get. Because unless you have a passport, a regular driver's license is no longer good enough to get you on an airplane. And so I arrived at the DMV at 10 o'clock in the morning. And I waited. And I waited. And I waited some more. And I waited, and I read War and Peace. And I waited some more. For 6 hours, I waited to get my real ID. And when my number was finally called and I typed in all of the required information, the lady behind the counter said, "Now smile for the camera." So I did this sort of half snarl, half fake smile. It was about as close to a lose your religion experience as one can get. Sometimes it seems as if certain things have been put on this earth just to drive us crazy. Some people will just make our blood boil. We experience frustration, resentment, bitterness, rage, anger. In our first Old Testament scripture reading from Genesis 4, we saw the anger that Cain had toward his brother Abel. In fact, Cain chose to act out on his anger toward his brother. Cain saw God's acceptance of Abel as an outright rejection of him. And so he reacts swiftly and with deadly force. The missionary minister E. Stanley Jones once said, "A Christian is more likely to sin by his reactions than his actions." And Cain's reaction was to do away with his brother, his own flesh and blood family. And later, when talking with God, Cain asked a question that many people that you probably know will quote, but few realize that it comes right out of the first book of the Bible. And so please join me as I continue the story of Cain and Abel and God as I read from Genesis 4, verses 9 through 16. "Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is your brother Abel?' He said, 'I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?' And the Lord said, 'What have you done? Listen, Your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it will no longer yield to you its strength. You will be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Today you have driven me away from the soil, and I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and anyone who meets me may kill me. Then the Lord said to him, not so. Whoever kills Cain will suffer a sevenfold vengeance. And the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who came upon him would kill him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. And friends, this too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you join me in prayer? Let us pray. God, this morning we are looking at this old, familiar story that we have heard many times. But we pray that by your Spirit, it may come to us anew and afresh with new truth, so that we may more reflect Christ's likeness in what we say, what we do, and in how we live. And it's to the glory of Jesus Christ that we pray these things. Amen. Ever play the board game Clue? You move your piece around the board, visiting different rooms, gathering evidence, picking up clues as to the suspect, weapon, and the room where the murder has taken place. For example, it might be Colonel Mustard in the conservatory with the wrench. Solve the who, where, and how, and you win the game. Genesis 4 gives us the first murder in the Bible. And if we were playing Clue, we would have all the information we need to solve this murder mystery. It was Cain in the field, his home turf, with a farming tool, most likely a shovel, which he then used to bury his brother. And yet, a big question to this murder is that of motive. Why? Why? Well, I believe that birth order is one of the keys to help us unlock the story of Cain and Abel. I read earlier now, the man knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have produced a man with the help of the Lord. Next, she bore his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a tiller of the ground. Notice how the pecking order is already in place. Adam and Eve have a child and name him Cain, which means I have brought forth a man. His kid brother comes along and he gets tagged Abel, which means frailty or nothingness. And that's exactly how Cain saw it. He was the man and his brother was the nothing. This rift between brothers even extends out into the workplace. Cain and Abel choose different occupations. Cain is a tiller of the soil. Abel is a keeper of flocks. Cain is a farmer. Abel is a shepherd. Today, you don't have to look too far to see that economics still fragments our society into conflicting attitudes and competing interests. We have management versus labor, developers versus environmentalists, urban versus rural. But there's nothing that shows the gulf between these two brothers more than the fact that they don't even go to church together. Think about that for just a moment. The first two brothers on earth actually hold separate worship services. Reminds me of the joke about the first two Scotsmen who came to America and what they did. One started the First Presbyterian Church, and the other went across the street and started the Second Presbyterian Church. Cain and Abel also have separate offerings. Cain's offering is out from the field, and Abel presents his offering from his own flock. And there is the rub. As it says, the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. Why? What was the basis of God's preference of one over the other? Is it possible that God was like me? Does God like a good ribeye and despise Brussels sprouts? Why does God accept the shepherd's offering but not accept the farmer's offering? Well, as we read the story, we find out that Abel brought his very best. Abel brought that which cost him something. He brought the choicest cuts of his finest stock to God, and it appears that Cain just sort of absent-mindedly grabbed a few vegetables on his way out the door and then threw them in a pile on the back of his pickup truck. But Abel brought his very best to God. And as for Cain, his worship of God fell flat. And so it says in verse 5, Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. In Eugene Peterson's translation in the Message, it says, Cain lost his temper and went into a sulk. There is this angry beast down deep inside of Cain that he needs to deal with. There's this unhealthy relationship that has with God and with his younger brother. Someone has said that hatred is a tiger snarling in the soul. It devours friendships. It destroys families. The late Dennis Hopper played psycho villains in movies like Speed and Waterworld, and he was once asked in an interview, what evil lurks inside of you to play such bad characters? And Dennis Hopper said, evil? There is no evil. I just wear tight underwear. We wish it were that easy. We wish it was just tight underwear. But Cain's anger is very real. Cain had always been the superior older brother, and now God comes along and jerks the rug right out from underneath him. And so he is hopping mad, jealous, bitter, angry. Cain has been knocked off the pedestal and put down below his younger brother. His ego is shattered, and so he hates his brother. And he faces this agonizing crisis within his soul. And in one of the more memorable face-to-face encounters in the Old Testament, God takes Cain aside and says in verse 7, if you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. In other words, Cain, if you don't get a grip on your anger, it is going to do you in and is going to tear your soul to shreds. The Bible says in the New Testament, in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For one's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Unfortunately, Cain can't bring himself to do that. Instead, he tells his brother, hey, Abel, let's go for a walk in the field. They're walking in the field when all of a sudden Cain lifts up an axe and he swooshes it down upon Abel's head and he kills his brother. Now remember, this is not just a story of how two brothers came to disagree over a sacrificial offering to God. This is not an isolated incident in human history. This is the first case of something that is repeated again and again and again. Over 16,700 times in America last year, the sin of Cain was repeated. Homicide is now the second leading cause of death for people ages 15 to 24. Last year, in 2024, some 647 murders took place in just the state of Pennsylvania. You see, we have Cain's blood in our veins. We have this nasty lower nature. As a matter of fact, Abel died before he had kids, so all of us, if you think about it, are descendants of Cain. And so when we look at the story of Cain and Abel, it doesn't offer a lot of hope, does it? Cain is told, "And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand." And then we have some of the saddest words in all of the Bible. It says in verse 16, "Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord." And that seems to be where we are today, separated from God, but so full of violence and hatred. The chasms between us are so great, the violence within us is so strong. Where does it end? It ends at this table. This table ends the story of Cain and Abel. At this table, Jesus came to bring us together as brothers and sisters in Christ. At this table, Cain and Abel are reconciled to each other and to God. At this table, we discover that we are our brother's keeper. I love the story that's told of the rabbi who spoke with God about the difference between heaven and hell. And God said, "First, I will show you hell." And they proceeded to enter a room which had this large pot of stew in the middle of it. The smell was delicious, but all around this giant pot of stew were people who were sitting there, and they were famished and sad, and they were suffering terribly. All of them were holding these spoons, which had these very, very long handles, which were able to reach the pot, but because the handles of the spoons were longer than the people's arms, it was impossible to get that stew back into their mouths. This was the picture that the Lord showed the rabbi of hell. No joy. Nobody meeting or eating together in the name of Jesus Christ. The presence of God was nowhere to be found. Then the Lord said, "Now I will show you heaven." They go into this identical room. There in the middle of the room is that same giant pot of stew. The people sitting around the pot of stew have those same identical spoons with those long handles. But this time, things were different. The people there were well nourished. They were talking and laughing and having fellowship with one another. And at first, the rabbi didn't understand. And then the Lord said, "It's simple. You see, they have learned to feed each other." Cain asked God, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And the answer to that question is supposed to be yes. Cain's question reminds me of the phrase that Jeb Stuart used to sign in his letters to General Robert E. Lee. He would sign his letter, "Yours to count on." When we are our brother's keeper or our sister's keeper, they can count on us. This morning, I invite you to come to the table. Bring your Cain or bring your Abel. Whether you've been the aggressor like Cain or the victim like Abel. So let me ask you, is there someone with whom you are very angry this morning? Is there someone you need to forgive? It might be someone who needs to forgive you. Whichever it is, bring that person with you to the table this morning. And while you may not be able to do that personally, do it in your heart. Do it in your mind. Perform mental surgery on that person and separate the person from the hurt that they have caused you. Friends, I guarantee you, this week, whether you go to the DMV or not, you're going to have things that frustrate you, hurt you, make you fearful or angry, and that sin is going to be lurking at your door. And either you're going to lash out in anger like that of Cain, or you're going to follow the path of forgiveness set forth in Jesus Christ. C.S. Lewis has said, the angels of God hold their breath to see which way we are going to go. This morning, as you come to the table, be your brother's keeper. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.